Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I invite you to take your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We will continue on in our series called Seven Signs as we're walking our way through John chapter 2 through John chapter 11. So that's where we're spending our time over the next number of weeks together. We are looking at specific signs that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry that point to the reality that he is the Son of God who has come into the world to forgive our sins, to go to the cross on our behalf, take our place, to die, pay for our sins, and to be raised from the dead. So that's where we are in John's Gospel, John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to grab one off our Next Steps table. You can take that home with you as our gift to you and encourage you to be following along with us. You can follow along as well on our screens this morning. How many of you who may have grown up in church, or maybe you didn't grow up in church, but John 3:16 was the first Bible verse you ever memorized? How many of you, just hands up, how many of you for John 3:16 was the first verse you ever remember hearing? Some of you are there as well. John 3:16, it's a verse we're going to cover this morning. We're going to do it within the context of John chapter 3, a pretty interesting story that unfolds in Jesus' life and ministry as he's interacting with one of the religious leaders of the day. But John 3:16 for us would be, as Christians, the verse that says everything that we really are trying to proclaim and trying to make real in our own lives, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son, who laid his life down for us so that we would not die in our sins, but that we could have eternal life. It's interesting that it's a verse that many of us probably know, but I hope this morning as we unpack together John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, in this message called Born Again, that we would gain a true grasp of how important that simple verse really is. I want to read for us this morning John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, going through verse 21, and then we'll walk back through it together. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want you to notice as we walk through John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, three unique things that are addressed. The first one in the first two verses is a unique man. So if you're taking notes this morning, write that phrase down, a unique man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, a little background for you. Pharisees are simply religious leaders. They were Jewish religious leaders who were experts in what the Old Testament had to say, specifically the first five books in the Old Testament. So Nicodemus at this point in time was one of the religious leaders. Nicodemus, as a Jew, would have known that God had made promises that he would send a Messiah to save his people. And so Nicodemus, with that knowledge, is going to begin to look and ask some questions about a unique man that has come on the scene. That man's name is Jesus. So Nicodemus came to Jesus, verse 2, by night and said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." It's interesting, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, which if you look through the Gospels, the Pharisees primarily came to Jesus during the day. They didn't like Jesus. Jesus was turning their world upside down, and they come to Jesus during the day, typically when he's around a crowd of people or at least with his disciples, and they challenge Jesus oftentimes. They say, "Now, who really are you?" And Jesus says, "Well, what I've done should demonstrate who I am. I'm the Son of God. I'm the one you've been waiting for and longing for." And they say, "Well, show us another sign. Give us a little more so that we could actually believe that you are who you say you are." But Nicodemus doesn't come in that mentality to try to corner Jesus, to try to put him up against a rock and a hard place. Nicodemus comes at night to Jesus. And I honestly believe Nicodemus is sincere in his questions and his statements about Jesus. Because he says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God." And notice this next part, "For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." We entitled this mini-series through the Gospel of John, Seven Signs. If you remember last week, if you were with us, and if you weren't, you can always go back and listen to the message from last week on our website or on podcast. But we looked last week at Jesus turning the water into wine, and we saw that Jesus had the power over creation to turn water into wine. And then Jesus interacts with the religious leaders of the day who have seen that, and Jesus says to them, "Not only am I able to do that, but when I am crucified, when I die, I'm going to raise myself from the dead in 3 days." has power over death and the grave. And not only that, but Jesus interacting with people who look and see the signs that he's doing and say, I want to follow that guy because of what he can do for me. Jesus knows the intentions of their heart. We covered that last week in chapter 2, that Jesus is able to see to the very depths of our hearts and knows what is going on within us. Why is he able to do that? Because he is the Son of God. And Nicodemus looks and he says, with all of my educational background studying the scriptures, I know that there's something unique about you. You are different. There's something about you that is different from everyone else. And you got to know, this guy was a preacher of the day. And he's looking and he's saying, there's something different even about you, Jesus, than anybody I've ever seen. These signs that you're performing, these things that you're doing, speak to a reality that you are not like us. You're unique. It's interesting, Jesus' response to him beginning in verse 3. So if we've seen the reality of a unique man in Jesus in verses 1 through 2, we come across a unique message in verses 3 through 15. Notice what Jesus says to Nicodemus. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, if you've been around church for any length of time, that word born again is a word that you're familiar with. It's a word that you know. It's a word that you understand probably. Maybe if you're not plugged into church very much, or you haven't been around the language that we use in church, which, let's just be honest, sometimes is weird, right? Some of the things we talk about are like, what are you talking about? But this idea of being born again, Jesus says to Nicodemus, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Now that's a unique message, and it's going to get even more unique as they begin to have a conversation about this word born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Now the logic follows, right? If you're thinking about physical birth, if you're old, how are you born again? That's what Nicodemus is asking. Very literally, for whatever reason, Nicodemus in his mind is thinking that the problem that I have is a physical problem, and I need to be born again. At least that's what Jesus is saying. So he asks, is this a physical birth again? Because I'm old. And any pregnant mamas out there right now would know that babies are big enough as they are, right? But take a grown adult, that doesn't work. That's what Nicodemus is asking here. How can I be born again? He follows it up and he says, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I love this. The reason I do is because Jesus doesn't look at Nicodemus and say, you're an idiot. That's what I would say, and that's probably what you would say. And let that just be a reminder for us as believers when we have conversations with people who are far from God and we say, here's what God's word says. Don't be surprised if right off the bat they don't understand. Don't look and say, well, you're an idiot. How could you not believe this? We're familiar with it. We understand the lingo. We understand the terms that we're using. But many people who don't know Jesus and who maybe didn't grow up in the church and maybe far from the Lord don't understand maybe some of the things that we understand. And instead of Jesus in this moment with this religious leader saying, I can't believe you don't understand this. Jesus patiently is going to walk him through this reality of what it means to be born again. It's a unique message. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you," verse 5, "unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus is taking Nicodemus in this moment, and Nicodemus is thinking primarily in the physical realm. Jesus, you've said, I have to be born again. Explain to me physically how that works, because I don't understand. And Jesus says, your mind is focused on the physical, but your problem is not physical. Your problem, Nicodemus, as the problem is with all mankind, is a spiritual problem. We're sinners. And our sin separates us from God. It began all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. See, Adam and Eve disobeying God, and in that moment, physically, they were still alive, though they would die physically. But in that moment, when they sinned against God, immediately they died spiritually. The relationship that they had enjoyed with God was no longer. And in fact, instead of being friends of God or children of God, they in that moment were enemies of God. And for the rest of human history up until this point, all of us are born with a problem. That problem is sin. We are born sinners. And if you don't believe that, go serve in the kids area for a little while. Right? We know that that's the case. They look cute, but they're cute little sinners, right? And that is humanity's problem. Every single person, with the exception of Jesus, born after Adam and Eve were in the garden and sinned against God, every single one of us has a problem. It is a spiritual problem. That problem is sin, and our sin separates us from God. And so here in this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus in this moment, he is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you are thinking primarily in physical terms. And so when I say to you that you need to be born again, you are thinking, I'm saying physically you need to be born again. But no, Nicodemus, what you need is a spiritual birth. You may be walking around and alive physically, but in the depths of your soul, you are dead spiritually. But the good news is, you don't have to stay there. That's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus in this moment. You can be born again spiritually. He says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In this moment, Nicodemus's religious world was shattered. Everything Nicodemus thought he knew about who God was and what God was up to, Jesus shatters in this moment and says, you've missed the reality of who I am and what I've come to do. Nicodemus needed a spiritual birth. And in this moment, Jesus says to him, I know what I'm saying may not make sense to you. If you try to work it out in your mind, physically thinking about being reborn, but If you understood what it means for the Spirit of God to come and to transform your life as you place your faith and trust in Jesus, if you knew what that was about, you'd begin to understand what I've come to do. Jesus here says the wind blows where it wishes, and he knows in Nicodemus's mind, Nicodemus is trying to figure out all the details. Nicodemus is trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Nicodemus is trying to take his religious understanding and fit it into a box that Jesus just won't fit into. And Jesus says the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. Here's the interesting thing. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you want to try to explain this in a physical sense. Nicodemus, you'll never be able to do that. Because what I'm talking about is spiritual. What I'm talking about is being reborn spiritually. So Nicodemus says to him in verse 9, how can these things be? Here's where Jesus says, you're an idiot. He's patient with him to start with, and I don't think here Jesus is actually saying that, so don't tweet that, okay? Verse 10, though, Jesus answered him, and he says, are you the teacher of Israel? It's interesting. Jesus says, after Nicodemus doesn't understand and doesn't really comprehend what Jesus is trying to help him understand and comprehend, Jesus says to him, aren't you supposed to be the guy with all the answers? Aren't you the teacher of Israel? And yet you do not understand these things. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus says to Nicodemus in this moment, you're still not grasping, you're still not comprehending what I'm trying to say to you, but you're going to see something play out in the time ahead where the Son of Man, Jesus speaking of himself, will be lifted up. And by that, Jesus is talking about, as we look back, being lifted up on the cross, being crucified for our sins. And Jesus says to him in this moment, you're going to look and you're going to see the Son of Man lifted up and recognize that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Church, that is our message. If you want to know, if you're new to North River Church, what are you guys about? Like, what makes you tick? What are you going to do week in and week out? We are going to lift up the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done, because we believe that if you'll place your faith and trust in him for salvation, you can have a relationship with your Creator. That's what we're about. And that's what Jesus was trying to help Nicodemus understand. Nicodemus recognized that there was something unique about who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. And so in coming to Jesus, he asked the question, and Jesus says to him, what you need is to be born again spiritually. If you're here this morning and you wonder, what is Jesus all about? What is it mean to be a Christian? What is all of this church thing about? That's the message. It is about the reality that we are born separated from God because of sin in our lives, and our sin separates us from Him. And Jesus stepped foot out of heaven, the very Son of God, came to this earth, lived a perfectly sinless life on this earth, and was crucified on a cross, bearing our sins. The sins that separate us from God, Jesus took on Himself for us. He paid the penalty of God's wrath that we should have paid. And not only did He die on the cross, but He was placed in a tomb. And He rose from the dead after 3 days, just like He said in chapter 2. Securing for us salvation, eternal life. This unique message that Jesus gives to Nicodemus is a message of good news for us in our sin, because we can be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. I want you to notice in verse 16, this is the money verse. This is the verse that explains it all for us, and it reminds us of a unique mission. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." If you're here this morning and you've never taken the step of trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this verse can be real in your life today. Believe. Place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and receive from Him the free gift of eternal life. You know, it's interesting. I've had conversations with people about John 3:16, and I ask them the question, what does John 3:17 say? It's the reason, church, just straightforward with you, and if you're a guest, let me just say this to you. We, week in and week out, walk verse by verse by verse by verse through the Bible. That's what we do. That's our pattern. That's how we work through the Scriptures together. And the reason that we do that is because we need to understand the context of what's going on within the Scriptures. And so we know John 3:16, but notice in verse 17, John 3:17. Following up, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." It's unfortunate that all too often, as believers, that's exactly what we do. Condemn the world around us for the way it is. May we be reminded that people that don't have a relationship with Jesus are going to act like they don't have a relationship with Jesus. It should not surprise us, should not astound us when people that don't have a relationship with Jesus act like it. Now, what should astound us is when people who do have a relationship with Jesus don't act like it, right? That should be something that does astound us. But here in this moment, Jesus, after proclaiming God's love for the world, that He sent Jesus, His only Son, so that salvation could be received by all who would place their faith and trust in Him for that salvation. But He says, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So let's just ask ourselves, believers, North River Church, gathered here in this place, what is our mission? Well, our mission is not to condemn the world around us. It's not our mission. Why is it not our mission? Because it wasn't God's mission in sending His Son. He just said that. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So let's just remind ourselves for a minute that when we leave this place and go out into this community that God has called us to serve within and to share Christ in, we don't do that sitting on a high platform as if we have it all together. No, we do it recognizing the grace and the mercy that God has extended to us. He didn't come and send His Son into the world to condemn us. He sent His Son to save us. That's the reason that for us, this is a message of good news. And here's the truth. It can be a message of good news for the people that we interact with day in and day out. But if we approach people in a way where we say, you know what? You don't trust Jesus? You're going to go to hell. Now, that's true. We don't stand on anything other than that because that's what the Scriptures teach. But can we kind of put Debbie Downer on the back seat for a little bit and say, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life? Let me tell you the good news about what Christ has done for you. That even though you're dead in your sins, that God so loved you that He sent His Son to this earth to lay His life down so that you didn't have to stay dead in your sins, but you could be born again, made alive in Christ. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in Him, verse 18, is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So if you're here this morning and you've never taken that step of trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, receiving the gift of salvation that His death and His resurrection provides for you. Let me say to you in this moment, there is good news today. You can trust in Jesus, be forgiven of your sins, receive life abundantly on this earth and life eternal for all eternity. But if you don't, Jesus says here, you're condemned already. Jesus doesn't force Himself on anyone. He gives us the opportunity to choose to place our faith and trust in Him. But if we don't, let us recognize that we're condemned already. We will bear the penalty of our sins. But isn't it great to know that we don't have to? That Jesus has borne the penalty of our sin on the cross? That we can receive eternal life because of what He did for us? Verse 19, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. If you've taken the step of trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, receive that gift of eternal life. The good news for you is that you are walking in the light today, which means the responsibility that is yours is to take your light with you wherever you go. God doesn't save us so that we stay undercover. God saves us so that we take our light and we shine our light in the darkness that's around us and point people to the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Church, that is our mission. That's why we exist. That's why we gather together week in and week out, is to remind ourselves, to recalibrate ourselves to the reality that we live in a dark world, but we have the light. His name is Jesus, and He can change any person's life that we meet if they'll trust in Him. The question for us is, will we be faithful to carry our light out of here and into the world that He's called us to live? That's our mission. We have a unique man in Jesus to point people to. We have a unique message that people can be born again spiritually. We have a unique mission that this place God has called us to serve. We have an opportunity to transform our community by pointing people to Jesus who can transform their lives. That is what we need to be reminded of, and we need to adopt as our call as missionaries in this community. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the great reminder of our greatest need. Our greatest need being a relationship with You that can only be made possible through placing our faith and trust in Your Son. Thank You for loving us so much that You sent Him to this earth. Thank You that He laid His life down so that we may have eternal life. And thank You for inviting us to be part of the mission of sharing the good news of what Christ has done in this community that You've called us to serve. Father, if there's one that's here this morning who has never taken that step of placing their faith and trust in Jesus, Lord, they may have come in today thinking they have a physical problem or an emotional problem or a circumstantial problem, when in reality, they have a spiritual problem. Father, they need a relationship with You. Would You help them see that that has been made possible through Your Son, Jesus? Through His death, through His resurrection, they today, this morning, right now, can be forgiven of their sins, can receive eternal life by placing their faith and trust in Your Son. God, would You help them do that today? Give them the courage. Just between You and them, that they would voice a prayer recognizing that that's what they need today and that they receive what Christ has done for them. Father, for us who are here that have taken that step of trusting You, would You remind us fresh and new this morning the mission that You've called us to? It's not a mission of condemnation to a world that needs You. It's the mission of spreading good news of what Christ has done and can do in people's lives.
Help us in this moment to think about our neighbors, our coworkers, people that we go to school with, that we shop with, that we eat with, who don't know you, but who need to. Give us the boldness, the courage to share with them the hope that we found in Jesus. Use this day and the days ahead that we would see people in this community come to faith in Jesus Christ because of our faithfulness to do what you've called us to do as North River Church. We ask that in your Son's precious name. Amen.